Let's pray together. God be in the speaking now of the word, and God be in the hearing of us all, and in the responding with new commitments of our days and our nights to your keeping and to your purpose. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. When the great theologian Paul Tillich was a teenager, he had an unhappy experience in church. He was among the kids who were getting ready for confirmation. And one of the assignments was for each kid to choose a passage from Scripture that best expressed the core of his or her faith, and then to recite it to the congregation. Tillich chose, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest." His teachers did not like his choice. They said, "You're a 13-year-old kid. What could you possibly know about labor and a weary soul needing rest?" He didn't have an answer for them, and he was embarrassed. But he says, "I knew my choice was right." And why wouldn't a teenager find those words appealing? There's no age requirement for feeling drawn to them. These words from Jesus are for anybody whose life feels just too heavy to carry, anyone with a weary soul. There aren't many of us who don't know at least a little bit about that. He is referring to the inner burdens that wear us out and do us harm. They come in many shapes and from many different sources. Some of our burdens are imposed on us by other people. Some parents can burden their children for a lifetime, can lay impossible expectations on them, the sense of never being good enough, never fully loved until they can earn the love, and of course, they never can earn it. Others who are close to us and whom we love can do something similar, can pile on the heavy load of their neediness, demands, instabilities, shaming. It's as if they said, "Here, carry this for the rest of your life." Bad religion has certainly done it plenty. Impossible burdens of guilt and obligation. That, incidentally, is almost certainly the kind of burden Jesus had in mind in our text. Some religious leaders in his day laid a mountain of expectations on the backs of the people and then shamed them when they couldn't live up to it. I'm surprised to this day at how many people I meet in church whose sense of God is still terrifying to them because someone in church laid a burden they should never have had to carry. Jesus is still in the business of setting people free from tyrannical religion. But in the end, it's pointless to blame our burdens, our false burdens, on anybody else. It is finally our choice to carry or not to carry what other people or other systems may lay on us. But let's be honest, more than that, we tend to lay our hardest burdens on ourselves. Awful burdens of regrets, self-accusations, worries we can't do anything about, stuff that every human being has, but that we hold on to and keep piling on more. Others are struggling under big burdens of resentment, bitterness, envy, wounded self-pity, and among our heaviest burdens are the masks that we wear, pretending to be or working hard as we can to be what we are not. That will wear you out. Yet even with so much baggage weighing us down, self-imposed, imposed by others, we still try to run. Carrying all that, we try to run still from the truth of ourselves, from the truth of our world, from the truth of God. And there stands Jesus, who knows what we carry, and speaks his quiet invitation, "Come to me, all you who labor and are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you. Learn from me. I'm gentle, lowly in spirit. You will find rest for your soul." Such beautiful words. In part beautiful because they're so simple. Which is what spiritual rest surely must be in the end. A new simplicity. But is it so simple? If we do draw closer to Christ, do we think we're going to be less burdened? Not if the burden is love. Because love will break your heart. You look at the suffering of other people, the cruelty and ugly, ugly unfairness to so many multiplied millions and billions in this world. It's crushing. And then the love that's opened your eyes to that and has broken your heart over it will ask you to get up and go do what you are able to do to try to make some difference, which brings a weariness of its own, especially if nothing seems to be changing. And if it means opposing the smug, whose aim is to put massive unfairness into law. You feel that in your bones. Go against it. And see how weary your soul becomes. Take a look at Jesus. Aching for the poor, the sick, the excluded, pouring himself out for them night and day, then opposing those who are oppressing them. And for him, love's burden becomes at last the killing weight of a cross on his back, under which he staggers to carry to his death. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Really? That requires us to notice that his invitation to lay down our burdens and to rest is also his invitation to take up a new burden. Take my yoke upon you, he says. What an image, a yoke? That curving length of wood laid on the shoulders of an ox to pull a plow, or laid on the shoulders of certain people who must carry heavy buckets of water or grain balanced on the back of their necks? A yoke? Burdened, he says, put on my yoke. He says it because he's honest and because he's life-giving. What he offers by way of rest includes a new purpose and the burden of love's work that is our purpose. The decisive difference is that it's his burden. Take my yoke on you, mine. Get out from under the baggage laid on you by others, and all that stuff you pile on yourself that you've got no business bearing. Lay it down. Unbend your back. Stand up and breathe. Then look at the world around you. Look at the face of God's love for it all and for you. And let that love be laid on your life. And sure, there is heartbreak in it. In a world like this one, who can have a heart and not be heartbroken? And yes, there's lots of love's work to be done. But look, it's not a burden that is imposed. It's an invitation of Christ for us. And we can walk away or we can pick it up if we choose. More than that, this is a burden that fits you. That's what he means when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Greek word translated easy really means kind. My yoke is kind. It fits you. It doesn't chafe at all. It suits you. Because the truth is that you were born for love to be laid upon your life and to bear it into the world. Your surest freedom is in serving the purpose of Christ's love. Your greatest beauty is in that, and we find our truest rest in doing that. We resist it because that kind of freedom can be scary. It requires relinquishing our grip on ourselves. It means embracing a more generous life. It means trusting. Maybe we prefer being weighed down. So what if we're unhappy and our souls are worn out? At least it's what we know. It's a fine hiding place for coming really alive. Terry Eagleton, literary cultural critic, said, we do not want a light burden. We want to hug our chains. I think it helps us to know that we're doing that and that we are sick and tired of it. A turning point can come when it dawns on you that your life has become a weariness. For then, if you will, you can listen to the wisdom of weariness. What it tells you is, this way isn't working. Let it go. There is a fine line from Leonard Cohen. I was saved by a blessed fatigue. What if we let that happen? And I think of the old gospel song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling you who are weary. Come home. If we hear that call and choose to turn toward it, perhaps we will see Jesus standing there with his yoke, but he isn't holding it out for us to bear, because it's not that kind of yoke. It's the kind that is made for two to bear together. And half of it is already on his shoulders. To take our own place does not mean we have to bend. It means rising to the greatness of his companionship and the companionship of countless others to bear his burden with him as he bears ours with us. That would be rest indeed for the weary. And it would feel just like coming home.